the mark of the beast is coming, and there's a lot of things coming very soon. But you know who else is coming? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back very, very soon. And I'm thankful that I am complete in Him. Amen. All right, there in chapter number 5, look with me in verse number 18. We're going to read through a few verses here. And the Lord showed me this back when we started our Bible reading. This was just a couple days into our Bible reading. And I'm thankful for all those that are participating in the daily Bible reading. If anybody is not doing it and you would like to, we still have a few books left. You can go through Genesis all the way to Revelation with the church. And if you're not getting the daily text, see Brother Bowen. If you're getting it and you don't want to get it, you're probably going to still get it. It's also the group message we sent out announcements on, so if you don't like it, just delete it. But Genesis here, chapter 5. All right, verse number 18. The Bible said, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. With all the odd names in the Bible, it's good to see a Jared. Amen? In verse number 19, and Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. I'm going to stop right there in our reading. We find here a couple different interesting things in the Bible. We find this man Enoch that I'll get back to in just a minute. Then this man by the name of Methuselah that lived 969 years. He's the oldest man recorded in Scripture. We find out that before the flood, men and women lived a whole lot longer than they did after the flood. And that's a whole other Bible study, a whole other discussion in itself. Today, we find out in the book of Psalms chapter 90 that we're promised 70 years. And if by strength, 80 years. That means that as a rule, if you do right and stay in church, don't do drugs, don't drink alcohol, and don't get involved with bad people and all those things, 70 years is about the expected lifespan. And if by strength, 80. And I have a message that I preach that many of you have heard, and I get a measuring tape out and show the 70 years and all the years disappearing. And I preached it out of church in Paris the other day and asked a man how old he was, and he was like 92, and the tape measure disappeared. And you know what I said? You must obey your mom and dad because you're living way past the 80, amen? At that point, you're living on God's grace because all your time that God told you that you could live is gone. And thank the Lord for it. There's things that you can do to extend your life. The Bible tells us, obey and honor your mother and father. Those are things you can do. I've met people that got saved later in life, and they will tell me, I am not going to make it to 80 or 90 years old. And I'll say, why is that? They said, I was horrible to my parents. I did not honor my mom and dad. You know what that is? That they're saying the Bible's true, and this is how it's going to play out. I see young people die, and you know, not all the time is it this case, but it crosses my mind and wonder how they were toward their parents. Amen. The Bible said if we honor our father and mother, our life may be longer on the earth than those things. So Methuselah, we find, was the oldest man in the Bible. Our lives go by so very quickly. Now, with 70 years, if by strength 80 a person lives, I'm only 37 or 38, I don't remember which one, 37 years old. And but I think back on my life, and when you look back at the whole thing, man, it goes by so quickly. And those, even the oldest person in the church, and I won't ask who that is, but even the oldest person, they can look back and say it went by so very quickly. I wonder if you asked Methuselah if his went by quickly. I mean, I would think 969 years old, by the time you got to that death day, you say, Lord, thank you, finally, I finally made it here. Amen. But even his life, I bet you it felt like it went by quick, but I know our life feels like it flies by and goes by so very quickly. It seemed like just yesterday we were all in lockdown. Now it's 3 years later. That quick it's gone by. Seems like just yesterday we started this church. It was in May of 2015. That's going to be 8 years here in just a couple months. I have a teenager now. Man, all these things go by so very quickly. It was about 28 years ago or so, if I'm doing the math right, that I got saved. I remember it like it was yesterday, the day that I got saved. I'll never forget that day. If you're saved in here and you've truly been born again, you'll never forget that day. You might not remember the date, but you'll know exactly where you were the day you got saved. Talked to a man the other day, or Brother Carl was talking to a man. He said, I don't remember a specific time or a specific place I was when I got saved. I've just always been saved. I'm sorry, buddy, you're not. Amen. You say, well, you can't tell me that. I'm telling you, the day you met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you might not remember the exact date. Maybe you didn't write it down, but you'll be able to go back to a place and say, this is where I got saved. And if you say, well, my mom told me I was saved, or my dad, are you willing to die with that? Are you willing to die with my dad or my mom or my grandpa told me that I was saved? I'd want to know for sure, and I could take you back to the place where I got saved. It's in Beaver Creek, Ohio. The church is gone. There's a bank. It's a credit union sitting there. And I've told people for years, I've never been in that bank. But if I was to go back to the place, I bet you the very spot where I got born again is in the vault where all the money's at. I don't know. I just feel like the Lord would do that for me. To go back and say, man, this is the very spot that I got saved. And I can take you back there. I took Ella there a couple years ago. We were in Ohio, and I went and drove back to that spot where that bank's at. And I went and drove through the drive-thru. They said, can I help you? I said, nope, you can't. I'm just praising God. This is the spot where I got born again. And the lady in the teller said, all right, well, if you need anything, let me know. Drove on. I drove through there. I wanted to go back to the place and tell my daughter, this is where I met God. This is where I was born again by the precious blood of God. I'll never forget that day I got saved, but it seems like it was yesterday. Time has gone by so very quickly. It was in 2003 when God burdened my heart and convicted my heart of some things in my life that weren't right, and I got those things right with God, and I went to a youth camp. We were living in Ohio. I didn't even know Glory Land Baptist Church. I didn't even know Brother Charlie. I didn't know anybody down here. But in Ohio, we lived up there, and Brother Rick Drum and his church was coming to a youth camp in Pell City, Alabama. And I was on a track for getting out of church. I mean, I'd never physically been out of church, but I was in sports. I was interested in girls. Thank God for that. Amen. I had other things on my mind besides God. And I know me as a teenager, and I was starting to go down roads that I shouldn't have been going down that would have taken me out of church. And I got in a horrible car accident. And I remember I was supposed to leave. This accident happened on a Friday. I was coming home from work. I was still in school. I was working and going to school, but I was coming back. And that Monday, I was supposed to leave for a secular basketball camp where I know no good would have come out of it. I got in that car accident. And the day before that car accident, some friends of ours from Lebanon said, hey, why don't you go to youth camp with us? Said, nope, I'm going to this basketball camp. Had nothing to do with God. I got in that car accident. I woke up. I knew that God had been calling me to do something for Him, and I've been running from it. And all of a sudden, I laid there. I overheard the doctor telling my parents I may never walk again. Thank God I was wearing a seatbelt. If I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, I'd have been dead. But I was wearing that seatbelt, and it cut off all the circulation to my legs. And so I didn't have any feeling in it. But thankfully, the feeling came back. But I laid there and said, God, if I get up, and I know people in here, you've probably made God similar promises. Lord, if you let me out of this, I promise I'm going to that camp. I'm not going to basketball camp. I'm going to church. I got up. My head was bandaged up the entire week. I had glass and all kind of things. And the entire car was completely squished up like a can except for the driver's seat. It was wrapped around a tree. And the only thing that survived was the driver's seat. You want to tell me that God's not real? Amen. And I got knocked out by a softball bat that was in the back seat, glass all in my head. My head was cut open. But I walked out of there. I had to wear a bandage the entire week I was at youth camp. But God dealt with my heart every day at camp. And I said, Lord, I'll give you this. I'll give you this. And I remember I said, Lord, I'll give you basketball. Now, I know you're looking at me and say, there's no way you can play basketball. Ask Miles. I had to introduce to him what a basketball was at camp last year. But I used to play, and I loved it. It was my idol. And I gave up all that stuff, and Wednesday night in July of 2003, 20 years ago, I said, "Lord, I'll preach." I remember calling Dad when I got out of church, and the first thing he said is, "Are you sure?" He said, "Well, that's mean." No, if he could have talked me out of it, it wasn't real. I said, "No, this is what God told me to do." And I surrendered to preach. I came back. I started preaching a little bit at the church there, helped with the youth, and the rest is history. That was 20 years ago. It seemed like yesterday, Brother Steve, I was on the altar saying, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And here we are. Time goes by so very quickly. Last year, there's people that had all these grand plans they wanted to do, and it's gone. We have a whole nother year ahead of us. Not only has time gone by quickly, but wickedness has grown at warp speed. I'm telling you, all the demons of hell, the imps, all those things have been released in this world, and wickedness is at an all-time high. There's things that are taking place today that you never thought you'd ever see. People even my age, the middle age, say, "Man, I never thought I would see this." Some of the older folks, I guarantee, would say, "Man, I never thought I would ever see this. I never thought this." The Joker is now pregnant in the current woke DC comic series. The Joker, a man, pregnant. Everybody got quiet. You say, "What's happening?" I'm telling you, this wickedness is being released, and it's relentless. A man cannot get pregnant. Amen. I don't know how they can't figure that out. But you know what men want you to do, these men? They want you to say that it could be possible and be accepting if they could get pregnant. It's a problem. We have a problem in this world. Things are happening so very quickly. I want to encourage you, church, you better protect your family from this stuff. You better protect your family from this stuff. If that means you got to watch Abbott and Costello and that's the only thing you can watch, and if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's pretty funny stuff. If that's all you have to watch, then that's all you watch. Protect your families. This stuff is indoctrination, and it started years ago. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and worse and worse and worse." It's absolutely true. Deceiving and being deceived. The Bible is absolutely true. But here in our text, we find a man that walked with God. He walked with God. When I was reading this, I came across this text. Look back there with me in verse number 23. "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." I want to preach for just a moment on a 365-day walk. A 365-day walk. Now, he lived 365 years and walked with God. But wouldn't it be something for this next year for us to set out and say, "I want to walk with God every day this year"? There's people that have all kind of plans, and they've got desires and things that they want to do this year. But it would be a blessing to hear somebody say that, "I want to go all year walking with God." What an encouragement that would be to hear. What an encouragement it would be to your family and to the church to be able to walk with God 365 days a year and then do it all over again next year. To walk with God. We have a lot of examples in scriptures of men and women walking with God. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. You're right there. Go back two chapters, Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, there's several examples. I'm only going to give you a couple from scripture here and then move on. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible said, "And they," speaking of Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord," what? "Walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now, in this text, Adam and Eve are hiding from God because they sinned. There's a lot of people today that hide from the presence of God because of sin. Because of sin in their life, because of things they don't want to accept. And Adam and Eve are hiding from God, but from Scripture we understand here that God did this frequently, where He would meet and walk with them in the garden. Man, what a wonderful thing that God would come and walk with them in the garden. Amen. We know that He meets with us spiritually now, and through the Holy Spirit of God, He meets with us, and we walk with Him, and we talk with Him. But Adam and Eve physically walked with God in the garden. Look at Genesis chapter 6. One chapter after our text there in chapter 5, Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. Y'all there? Still say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what? Walked with God. We have examples in Scripture of men and women walking with God. Moses and Elijah, those two men probably had more sway with God than any other men in the Bible. God would choose to do something, and Moses and Elijah would talk God out of it. Go back and read it. As we're going through here, you'll see that. They had a walk with God that was unlike many of their time. We find Samuel and David and Abraham, the disciples, all these different people that walked with God. The disciples physically walked with Jesus Christ on this earth. What a privilege that is. But it's greater that you walk with God and haven't seen Him than those that saw Him and walked with Him. But of all these mentions and all the men in the Bible and women that walked with God, there's two individuals that there was something a little bit different about them. They never saw death. The Bible said, as it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment, these two never died. And that is Elijah and Enoch. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, and the Bible said God just took Enoch. I mean, you think about a walk that's so close to God that the Lord said, you don't have to die like everybody else. I'm just going to take you. Man, what a walk with God. I've heard it said that He was so heavenly minded, He was no earthly good. Amen. God took him. The Bible has a whole lot to say about Elijah, and I'm not going to preach on him this morning. There's a whole lot could be preached. It's got a whole lot to say about Elijah. But Enoch, it doesn't say a lot about him. The Bible has very little to say about him. Matter of fact, we find out here that he was a son, and he was a father, and he walked with God. I tell you what, right now, church, that's a good testimony. If there's nothing else can be said about you other than the fact that you might be a son or a daughter or a mother or a father and that you walked with God, that is good enough. It doesn't matter what secular thing you accomplished. All those things are temporal, they'll go away, but the fact that you walked with God, that is a great testimony. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place here. Matter of fact, you don't have to hold your place there. Just go to Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible mentions Enoch in two other places. One talked about the fact that he was a preacher. And here in Hebrews chapter number 11, look what the Bible has to say about him in this passage. This is the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. Hebrews 11, 5. When you find your place, say amen. I was preaching out of church the other day, and so if you find your place, say amen. The pastor is the only one in the building that said amen. I said, well, apparently the pastor is the only one in this church that brings their Bible to church. That's one of those times I should have thought it and probably not said it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. You ought to bring your Bibles. Open your Bibles. This Bible is what we say is our foundation. It is the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. It's the final authority, not me. It's this book, so you ought to have your Bible. Hebrews 11, verse number 5. Look what the Bible says about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Why? Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. I wonder, now listen, I'm not talking about last year. That's gone. There's nothing you can do to undo what happened last year. Not one thing you can do. But you know what my heart's desire and prayer is? To try to walk with God every day this year. And God could look down and say, I am pleased with His walk with me. To be able to go a whole year to say, what's happened in the past, Lord, I'm sorry. Because I'm telling you right now, there's days that I didn't walk with God like I should. There's days, maybe multiple days, that some of us, we just did not walk with God on certain days. And I would like it to be said that every day I tried to walk with God, a 365 day. And if the Lord was to tarry and it was before the flood, to say I walked with God 365 years, walking with God. What a testimony this man had. Let me give you these few things. What a 365-day walk with God means. This is what it means. If you were to, if by the end of next year, God was to say, I'm pleased with you, and the testimony of your life would be, that person walked with God, here's what that means. It means that you were fellowshipping with God every day. It means that you were fellowshipping with Him every day. Turn to Amos chapter number 3. The book of Amos chapter number 3, this minor prophet. Amos chapter number 3. Do you know what the word fellowship means? It means an association. It means a community, a communion, a joint participation. It means a partnership. It means joint interest. It means in agreement with. That is what fellowship means. We come together as a church and we fellowship. Why? We can do that because we have some things in common. The things we have in common is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's salvation. It's this Bible. We're in agreement on some things so we can fellowship. And that's exactly what the word means. So if you're going to walk with God every day, it means that you're fellowshipping with Him. It means you like what He likes. It means you dislike what He dislikes. It means that you're in agreement with one another. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Look what the Bible says here. Can two walk together except they be what? Except for they be agreed. You know, this morning, some people cannot walk with God every day because they don't agree with Him. And we know what God likes. We know what He dislikes. We know what He approves of. We know what He disapproves of. We have this book that tells us. And let me say this. Everything that God disapproves of in our life is not because He's a mean God and doesn't want you to have fun. He created you and He knows what's best for you. He knows what will give you the best life. He knows where you'll have peace. He knows where you'll have joy. He knows where you'll have all those things. He knows. He knows you. So the things that He says, this is what pleases me, this is what displeases me. The things that displeases Him are things that will hurt you. And He doesn't want you hurt. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He's a father to the fatherless. He loves you. Just like a parent with a child that says no. Amen? That's not a bad word. Sometimes it's a helpful word. Sometimes it's a protective word. Sometimes it's something that is for their best interest. And there's things in the Bible God said, I do not want you doing this. He said it's not right for a man to touch a woman before they get married. That's what the Bible says. You know why He says that? Because it's in your best interest not to do that. Why? Because He knows it'll cause problems if you do. That's what the Bible says. There's all kind of stuff the Bible says that God wants us to do. But it's not because He's mean. He knows what's best for you. And there's people that will not walk with God every day this year. They'll walk with Him on Sunday just to get it off their conscience. And they may come on Wednesday. They may come to Sunday school. But every other day they're not going to walk with God because they're not in agreement. If you're not in agreement with that book, you're not in agreement with God. I don't care what your shirt says. I don't care if it says, I love Jesus. I don't care if it says, I love my church. I don't care if there's a scripture verse on it that you wear. If you're not in agreement with the Word of God, you're not in agreement with God, and you're not fellowshipping with Him. You can say it all you want that you want to. But I'm talking about a 365-day walk. Christianity today in most churches has turned into a Sunday event only. I will behave like a Christian. I'll act like a Christian. I'll do the things that please God on Sunday. The rest of the time is my time. I'm talking about walking with God every day. I mean, walking with Him and talking with Him every day, 365 days a year, walking with God. But there's some that can't do that because they're not in agreement. We've had people walk right out the doors and something will be preached or taught from the Bible and they'll say, well, I just don't see it that way. I've had people, Sister Bonds, that I'll take the Bible and open it and I'll say, will you read that verse for me? And they'll read it and say, well, I just don't see it that way. I said, I didn't say anything. You read it. You know what you just said? I don't agree with God. That's what you're saying. And you can't fellowship with God. A 365-day walk with God means you're fellowshipping with Him. You're in agreement. You'll be going along and you'll have compassion for sinners and you'll hate sin. Now listen, I believe that we need to do better, have a compassion for sinners. Jesus, the Bible said Jesus was a friend of sinners. But he went into the church and threw over the money changers and threw people out. He called them whited sepulchers, called them all kinds of names. Who was he calling names? The religious people. The people that said they're a Christian, but they don't walk with God. Jesus didn't have, he didn't have nothing to do with them. You know what he went to? He went to the person that said, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. That's who he fellowshiped with. But how can two be agreed? Or how can two walk unless they be in agreement? It's sad that there's some that cannot, and there's some maybe even sitting in this room, you will not walk with God every day this year because you're not in agreement with them. It's hard to fellowship that way. The second thing, if you're going to walk with God every day, that means you're following His way. If you walk with somebody and they're the one leading, and I promise you're not going to lead God around. God's not just going to go the direction you're going. Amen. There's some people that think they can make any decision and God's just going to bless it. It doesn't work that way. Now, there's things that we do, if we do them with the right heart and the right intentions, God does know our heart, that we might make a mistake and God still bless it because He knows your heart. But you're not going to be the one in charge. You're not going to tell God what is and what's not. You're not going to make the Bible fit what you believe. You fit what the Bible says. And so walking with God, in order to walk with Him 365 days, it means that you're going to follow God's way and not your way. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 and in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which, or that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God knows which way we ought to go. We ought to follow His way. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Amen. If you're going to walk with God 365 days, you're going to be going His way. That's what that means. You know what's sad? Just like the previous one, there's some that are not going to follow God every day because you're not going in the same direction. It is hard for me to be able to walk with somebody and fellowship with them if we're going in two different directions. If we're going in the opposite direction, Deuteronomy 5:33 says, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Well, in order for you to have a walk with God 365 days, it means you're fellowshipping with Him, and it means you're going in the same direction He is. And let me clue you in on something here. I'm about to get to it. The world's not going the same direction God is. It's not headed in the same direction. In order to walk with God 365 days, it means that you're fellowshipping with Him. It means you're following God's way. And last of all, it means you're forsaking the world. The cross before me, the what? The world behind me. It means you're forsaking the world. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Are y'all okay this morning? Ephesians chapter 5. Having a 365-day walk with God means you're fellowshipping with Him. It means you're in agreement with what He says. It means that you're following His way. We're living in a generation today, a Me Too generation, and all these other things that they have where people want it their way, the civil rights and all these things, and everybody has their rights. I mean, living in a day where they have comic books that they're giving to children, where a man's delivering a baby, where they're going into, hey, we're living in a world where a child in elementary school goes in and shoots a teacher. I'm not talking about a high school student. I'm not talking about a 17, 18-year-old. It was like, what, a third grader? 6 years old, went in and shot a teacher. We're living in a messed up world. I don't know anything about that child or his parents or anything like that, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of messed up stuff in that kid's life. These parents that raise their kids in such a way from a little child all the way up to let them make their own decisions, you're messing up. The Bible gave you those children. It says for you to train up your child in the way that he should go, and in the end, he will not depart from it. You train them up. They don't train themselves. I have a problem we try to avoid this in our home, of constantly asking our children what they want. Every time, it's getting quiet, every time we go eat, saying, what do you want? And you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to, you know, make them happy and all those things, but you do that enough, they're going to grow up thinking they deserve everything they want. And you trained them that way. And then when they throw a fit because they didn't get something they want, or they go into work and the boss tells them to do something, they don't feel like doing it, and their parents let them get away with it every time they didn't want to do something, this is what it turns into. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. When you're walking with God every day, it means you're willing to forsake the world. And the Bible said, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? You know what I've been doing this morning, talking about some of these things? Reproving them. It ought not to be so. It ought not to be so in the life of a Christian. Look at 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John chapter number 1. There's a lot of verses on all these subjects, but we're not going to go over all of them. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. 1 John 1:6. The Bible said, if we say then that we have fellowship with Him, we just talked about the fellowship, and walk in darkness, we what? Lie and do not the truth. You cannot tell me that you're fellowshipping with God and you're friends with the world. They don't go together. Look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light, Christ is the light. We find that out in the book of John. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Just go back a few books right before 1 Peter, James chapter number 4. If you're going to say, I'm going to walk with God every day this year, it means you're going to be fellowshipping with Him. You're going to be in agreement. I'm telling you right now, if two people don't agree on something, they're not going to stay together very long. They're not going to stay together very long. It's by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and Christ living in us that we can even all be in the room together. Amen? If it wasn't for God, man, people would just destroy each other. Look at the world. Look how they destroy one another. But we're God's children. And because of that, the Bible said we're to love one another. We love one another. We overlook faults. We overlook things. We encourage one another. We forgive one another. Well, those are things that we do as God's children. And we can move on for the glory of God. Amen. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. You know what a marriage is? It's two sinners under one roof. But if they're saved, they're two sinners under one roof. They can get along because of God. A church, a building full of people that are sinners, that are saved by the grace of God, and can get along. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Look what it says here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with who? With God. Look what it says. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? How can you walk with God if you're in love with this stinking world? We have to live in the world. Amen. We can't all go and join an Amish community. And thanks to social media and television, they got their problems too. We all know about it. Why? There's people, there's problems. But I'm telling you right now, if you love the world, you love the things of the world, you love the fashion of the world, the music of the world, you're entrenched in worldliness, you can't walk with God the way you're supposed to. There's people, Brother Nick, they walk with God on Sunday morning. They bump into Him at church. I'm thankful that God's here. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He'll be there in the midst. If you're saved, He's living in you. And you say, well, He's living in me. He's got to go with me everywhere. Yeah, let's go talk to some marriages this morning that live in the same home, but they don't talk to each other. They don't know each other. They know nothing about each other, but they live under the same roof. You know what that's an illustration of? It's an illustration of a child of God that says they're saved, but yet they're not walking with God. And I'm telling you right now, if we're going to walk with God every day this year, we got to fellowship with Him. You know what that means? It means I might have to say, Bible, you're right here, and I'm wrong, and I'm going to get this right. I'm going to fix this so that I can walk with God. God's not going to go against His book. You know what it means? It means that wherever God leads, that's where I'm going. Even if I don't agree or I don't understand, if I'm going to walk with God every day, it means that I'm going to go the way He's going. And I hope you know this, church. God's way is the best way. So many verses to go over on this. And the last thing, if I'm going to walk with God every day, I'm going to have to turn my back on this old stinking world. I've got to live in it. I've got to work in it. I've got to interact with people. I've got to try to win souls to Christ. But I tell you what, in the average home, there's so much world in that home. It's hard for God to do anything. That television, the movies, the video games, I could go on and on and on, the things that are stealing the affection of people. Go through the whole day and can't find time to read our Bible, but if we were to sit down and look at all the time we spend on our phone or in front of a device, we'll find out that we cared more about that than reading our Bible. We cared more about that than praying. We cared more about that than spending time in devotion with our family. Because if I walk with God every day, I want my family to walk with them. I'm going to do what I can to lead them to walk with God every day. I want them to have the blessings of God. Enoch, 365 years he lived on this earth. I don't think it's any kind of coinky-dinky that his son is the one that lived the longest in the history of the Bible, in the history of the world, was Enoch's son. So what are you saying? I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with Enoch's walk with God. The Lord blessed his children. I want my children blessed. I want God to bless this church. And the only way it's going to get done is not a program. It's not a special whatever you want to come up with. It's not a special. It is the presence of God. And to have the presence of God, we got to walk with Him. And to walk with Him, we got to agree with Him. And to walk with Him, we got to go the way He's going. And in order to go the way He's going, we're going to have to turn our back on the world. And this message this morning, Miss Sarah, you come to the piano, I want it to be an encouragement to our church. Listen, last year is gone. I know this isn't the first Sunday. We had a guest preacher last week. This is what God gave me a couple weeks ago. But I want to say this year, I want to walk with God every day. I want to come before God and say, Lord, I want to do everything I can to walk with You. And Lord, if there's anything that's contrary to that, would You please help take it out of my life? Would You show me? I know as I preach, God spoke to some people's hearts this morning. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Give a time of invitation. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, would you come? There's several that are coming. If God spoke to your heart, listen, what a way to start off the year by saying, I want to walk with God. Lord, if there's anything in my heart, if there's anything in my life that's contrary to a walk with You, Father, would You help me? It's a humbling thing to be able to bow before God Almighty and say, Lord, there's some things in my life that I know you don't agree with. God, I want those things out of my life. There's many that have come. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If God spoke to your heart, would You come? I know you can pray where you're at, but there's something about humbling yourself before God. Nobody's looking, just me and God. But about humbling yourself. That's the one thing that's good about an altar. We don't do away with an altar in the church. An altar is where things get altered. And listen, you might hang on to those things in your life and you might grip the pew there and you say, well, I'm going to get things right with God. But I'm telling you, some of us need a good old dose of humbling. And that's what an altar's for in a church. That's why we have it. There may be somebody here this morning, I've preached about a walk with God. There may be somebody here today that you're not saved. I talked about the day I got saved. I'll never forget that day. I don't remember the exact date. My mom wrote two different dates in two different Bibles and confused me on the date. But I tell you what, I know exactly where I was when I got saved. I know it was sometime around July to September of 1995, but I'll take you back to the spot where I met God. If you can't do that, I would check up and make sure. Man, you won't forget somebody as big as God moving in. Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, it requires a death payment. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He paid the wage. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. The gift of God was Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What am I calling on, preacher? The verses right before that tell us. Chapter 10, verse 9. What you're doing is believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again to save you. And He'll save you. Every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let me ask you this question, church. If you were to die today, we're not promised tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. It goes by so quick. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven? If you do, would you raise your right hand? Nobody's looking, just me and God. Listen, every eye closed. If I was to die today, I know 100% I'm going to heaven. Would you lift up your right hand? All right, you can put the hands down. There were some that could not raise their hand. And listen, first of all, thank you for your honesty. That's the first thing, acknowledging I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we're not promised tomorrow. Hell is a real place, and Jesus Christ came and died on the old rugged cross to save us. I'm going to do this real quick. We're almost finished. I'm not going to drag this on, but if God's dealing with your heart right now in the area of salvation, you need to get born again. You say, what will they think? Everybody in this church will rejoice over somebody getting saved. Brother Stephen, you grab your Bible. Sister Lisa, if you would, you guys come to the front here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Listen, if you could not raise your hand, you say, preacher, I want to know for sure. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that right now. And if you do not know, would you step out of the pew? We have a lady here that'll take a Bible. If you're a lady, we got rooms here in the back. They'll take you back there and show you some verses we just mentioned. Anybody here at all say, preacher, I'm not saved, and I would like to be saved. Anybody at all? Don't let pride send you to hell. Pride's an awful, awful thing. Anybody at all say, preacher, I'm not saved. Listen, you got somebody next to you. You can grab them. They'll come with you. They'll pray for you and pray with you. Anybody like that at all? Say, preacher, I'm not saved. Nobody's looking. Would you come? Say, I want to be saved. If you're a man, we've got a man up here, a lady. I'll take the Bible and show you. Anybody like that at all? You step out. All right, we're about to close in prayer. As we close in prayer, I encourage you, if you're not saved, please don't leave here without finding out, knowing for sure that you're saved. Please. I preach this whole message on walking with God, and I hope it's an encouragement to our church. But if you're lost in here, it does no good for you. Lake of fire will be your eternity if you don't get born again. I'm thankful Jesus paid the way to heaven. So I'm going to pray, and listen, when we're finished, if you want to know more about salvation, it's not in church membership, it's not in the offering plate. All those things are good, but that's not what gets you to heaven. It's not being good people. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. So you get with somebody as soon as we're finished if you want to know more about salvation. In church, I encourage you this year, let's walk for God. Let's walk for God. Imagine what God could do with a church of people that are walking with Him. I can't even wrap my mind around what God could do if we would just get out of His way and follow Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us. We thank You for being a great God, a great Savior. Father, I thank You for our church. Lord, I hope the church knows I love them and I love You. I love this book. And I want the richest blessings that heaven has for us, Lord, I want for our families and our churches. I want to see all of our children get saved at a young age and fall in love with You. Lord, I want every person in here to be saved and go to heaven. Lord, I pray You'd help us to walk circumspectly, that we would walk with You every day. Lord, I thank You so much for each one that's here today. I pray if there is somebody here that's not saved, God, there's some that couldn't raise their hand. And Lord, I pray if they, God, have a doubt, Lord, if they need assurance, Lord, if they're not sure, or maybe they just know they're lost, before they leave, God, they'd get that settled with You. Lord, eternity is a long time to be in hell. Father, and You paid the way so we don't have to go there. We're thankful for your blood that was shed on Calvary. Thankful for your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, you please bless each person here. Be with those that are sick. Bless the nursing home service. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.